Well, good morning. I think this is the time Children's Church is leaving. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. Maybe they already left. It looks like they already left. Oh, maybe some didn't. Okay, good. Have a good time. Enjoy. All right. Well, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We did, right? And now we're good for another whole year before we need to be thankful again. So that works out, right? Well, not really, right? But as our lives go, sometimes it's difficult to maintain a consistently thankful attitude, isn't it? Just think about it for a minute. On Thursday of this week, we went out and we had great meals together with family and friends, hopefully, and we celebrated Thanksgiving together, and then on Friday, we nearly killed each other trying to get more stuff, okay? That's not really a good attitude of thankfulness, I don't think. But that's kind of how it goes, right? All of us seem to sometimes have a hard time being thankful and maintaining that attitude of gratitude, as they say. That mindset, that demeanor, that disposition of truly being thankful for all that we have and all that God has done for us. And yet, there's no greater resource for living than that of a thankful heart. I think of it of that because we forget that we need to keep a scriptural mindset on Thanksgiving. And our text today, if you have your Bible, I didn't make a PowerPoint, apologize. I'm not real good with the PowerPoint stuff all the time. So I'm one of the older, you know, older types, so I, it's okay. I have to bring stuff to the deacons in paper form. They don't have email, so it's the way it goes for some of us. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at three very short verses there, or relatively short verses in the scheme of things, but they're verses that are filled with meaning, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pretty simple. Pretty simple words, yet filled with meaning. We even find thankfulness in the book of the Song of Solomon, if you can believe it. Now, when Pastor first asked me to preach several months ago because he thought he was going to be away, he asked me to preach out of the Song of Solomon, which is kind of a joke between preachers kind of thing. So I told him, okay, we can do this, okay. And it says this, "The daughters of Jerusalem say this, 'We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you.'" And, you know, we see rejoicing there. We see thankfulness there. And I mostly put that verse in there for Pastor Kyle, so just so you know. But again, the verses there in 1 Thessalonians, they're very simple and very, very short verses, but they're filled with significance. Let's understand for just a moment the setting that the verses were written in. The church at Thessalonica, in its founding, when it was came into existence, it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 17, and you can read that for yourself at some point. But there is a, even in the beginning, it speaks of a mob attacking a person's home and dragging a man named Jason to the authorities because he harbored those who were followers of Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Paul speaks these words. He says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Now, those words seem opposite to one another, don't they? You receive the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. They don't seem to go together. But that's the blessing. That's the significance of what we understand and how we understand the Word of God to be. When we receive it and understand it, even in the midst of affliction, we can have joy. But how does this happen? It happens when we remember all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. His grace and His mercy to us, the salvation that He has provided for us through His Son, through Himself, and God has provided through His Son Jesus Christ. The love He has shown to us, and the way He sustains us each and every day of our lives. This should bring rejoicing in us. Rejoicing. All of these things are things that circumstances of life cannot change or diminish. The circumstances of life try to beat us up. They try to weigh us down. They try to get us to choose other than obedience to God. But these things that God has done for us, the things that we can rejoice in, they are steadfast things, sure things, eternal things. Even the scripture that we read this morning over in Psalm chapter 103 that Josh read for us, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That's what God does for us. Those are the things that we can rejoice in, and we can rejoice continually in those things. Our time should always be filled with rejoicing at the wonderful grace of God toward us. Always rejoicing in his love for us. Always rejoicing in his mercy to us. How is this attitude of rejoicing maintained in our lives, though? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at verse 17, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's what it says. Praying without ceasing is not the head bowed, eyes closed, continuously in an attitude, verbally conversing with God type prayer. If it were, there'd be a lot more car accidents than there are today, okay? Because I don't know about you, but that's a good place to pray is in the car when you're all by yourself. Shut the radio off, pray a little. But if you got to have that head bowed, eyes closed kind of thing going on, it's a problem. But what Paul was speaking of here was a continuous attitude of prayer. A continuous attitude of prayer. This is the attitude of being constantly seeking God with every decision of our lives. It's taking the small things with a small word of acknowledgement of God's control and leadership of our lives. As we pray, we express our dependence upon God. I always ask the question, we got to pray for that. We do, and we should. We pray all the time, but you know what? God knows what we need, right? He already knows, but he needs to hear us say to him, "God, I know that I cannot do this on my own, that this is beyond me, that you have got a plan in this for me, and I don't know what's going to come of it, but I trust you in it. I depend on you." You know, the trials and the struggles of our lives come to us for two reasons, I believe. One, and we'll see this a little more later, is to make us more Christ-like. And the other, I believe, is to see if we will choose obedience. To pray without ceasing is to be constantly seeking God's wisdom and direction so that our lives will be used for him and we will be glorifying him in everything that we do. That's why God wants us to come to him and pray to him and seek him out. Do you believe that prayer works? Amen. Good, a few of you do. Excellent. I want to tell you a story about a small town. And this town was historically had been a dry town, so to speak. But then a local businessman decided to build a tavern right in the midst of the community. And a group of Christians from a local church were concerned, so they planned an all-night prayer meeting and asked God to intervene. And it just so happened that not long after this prayer meeting, that the lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. Well, the owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after reviewing the material of the case, stated that, quote, "No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not." We need to pray believing that God has the following things in mind. The love of God wants the best for us. Amen? Amen. We need to pray remembering that the wisdom of God knows what is best for us. That one gets a little more difficult, doesn't it? Because sometimes we think we know. And thirdly, the power of God is able to accomplish what God knows is best for us. Do we pray that way? I hope so. So we are to rejoice always, and we are to pray without ceasing. Now back to 1 Thessalonians. Now Paul turns to speaking about our circumstances a little more. He says, "Pray, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I get hung up on one word in that sentence. In everything. Everything? Really everything. I don't know. In everything. This is not easy to do, is it? But thankfully, being thankful for everything, not easy. When I think of being thankful about everything, it reminds me of another scripture in James chapter 1. Turn there with me. James chapter 1. And we think about life and perspective on life and how it all is supposed to come together. But we look at James chapter 1 and we begin in verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2 begins here. We're going to read through verse 8. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who asks in faith with no doubting, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." We're supposed to have joy in the midst of trials. But when we understand and we see the purpose and the perspective of God in these trials, we can overcome them and we can find joy in those trials. All of the trials that we faced are there so that we will lack nothing in regards to our walk with Christ. We need to trust in the wisdom of God. He will give us what we ask of Him and what we need. We must not doubt, this verse tells us, or we are like double-minded men and unstable in all our ways. My friends, God can be trusted, and we can be thankful for everything that happens in our lives. Always being thankful, we must understand this in light of Romans 8:28. Turn there with me. Many of you probably know this verse, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. If you find yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you believe in Him and you've accepted Christ, then for the believer, we are able to live our lives with the assurance that what happens to us is for building us up and growing us to be more Christ-like. God allows trials to come and allows temptation to come our way to make us better for His kingdom. I think about the trials when I'm faced with a trial in my life, and I know that it's a trial that I'm going to have to walk through, and it's going to take a little time to do. My first prayer is this: Lord, whatever lesson you're trying to teach me, help me learn it really fast, okay? Because this is miserable. But I know that you have something better for me. You're wanting me to grow in the way that you would have me to be. In our suffering, we become more Christ-like. By suffering, we are associated with Christ because he also suffered. The person who has never given their life to Jesus Christ can only view the difficult circumstances of life as punishment or rejection by God, and this grows quickly into bitterness. Everything works against those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or at least that's what they think. Those without Christ often build resentment toward God because they can't view circumstances with the proper perspective. When we as believers have trusted in our Savior and Lord, we know that he has our best in mind, and we can find ourselves being thankful in the most difficult circumstances. Consider the pilgrims. The first Thanksgiving that took place was not done to thank the Lord for the great year that they had had and all the blessings that they had experienced. If you look at history, it shows that out of 409 people who settled, 60 were left. That was a difficult year. It was a year filled with trials, starvation, suffering, disease, in a new land. And better than half of them had died in that time. They were having the most difficult time, a tremendously difficult time, one that you and I could probably not comprehend if we were honest about it. Yet they set aside time to thank God for all that they had done, that he had done through them and in them. Be thankful to God for everything, always. We must get to the place where we can say to God, I know that you love me, that you have my best in mind, and I thank you for bringing this trial to me and to grow me and to teach me what you want me to learn. God is always trying to teach us more about himself and about who he is and how much he loves us. We need to get to the point where we can almost say, as I say it, I know that the trials and struggles of life make it seem impossible. We can, through the strength of Christ, say, you know what? I love you for making me suffer this way. I think that's where God wants us to get. When we see and understand, thank you, Lord, for making me into what you would have me to be through this difficulty. It may take a long time, even a lifetime, to completely grasp and put this understanding into practice. You know, these things that we have discussed today are not just good advice, but they are the will of God for every believer. Look again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will means rejoicing, prayer, thanksgiving for all who are in Christ. Thankfulness comes only when we understand that God is in total control, leads and guides our lives. When we understand that, these verses become part of our everyday life, as they should be. If you want to memorize a verse, pick those three. They're good ones. Two of them are really short. I could even memorize them. But now I have to ask a question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ today? Have you given him your life? And are you praying constantly for his will to be done in you? If you're here today and have never understood what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to take just a moment to share what that means and to help maybe help you do that. First, we need to admit to God something. We need to admit that we are sinners. What's a sinner? A sinner is a person that does something that's contrary to the will of God. I am one. And if we are alive on this earth, we are one. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We don't measure up to God's standard. We can't do it on our own. We are not going to make it into heaven because of our good works or our good deeds. We fall short. The Bible tells us that one of the best things in the world that we could ever hear is that God did not say, listen, once you get your life straightened out and you get right, then you can come to me and I'll forgive you. That's not what God said. But the Bible tells us that he showed his own love to us, and that while we were still sinners, right in the midst of our sin, Christ died for us. That's awesome. He loved us so much that even while we were still doing all the things that are sinful, he died. So first we need to admit to God that we are sinners and that we understand that about ourselves. And next we need to understand something. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that he died for us. Most famous Bible verse in the whole world other than Jesus wept is probably John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It tells us that Jesus paid a price for us, that if we will believe in him, we will not be separated from God in a very real place called hell, that we would have eternal life in heaven with him. Once we understand, and we will say that we understand that, we need to confess that. Confess your faith in Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. This is all done by praying and looking to the Lord and telling him these things that I've expressed to you. Would you pray with me right now? And if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, but you've seen your need to trust in him, maybe it'd be through the circumstances of your life that you don't understand, that you don't get. Maybe there's something hanging over you that you need to get rid of in your life and you don't know how to do that. Well, the best way to do it is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very best way you know how this morning, just bow there with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Just say something simple. The best way you know how. Tell him that you're a sinner and you recognize that. Tell him that you believe that Jesus died for you, and then tell him that you're going to trust in him alone for your salvation from sin. Father, I thank you for our time together in your word this morning. Father, I thank you that we can rejoice always. We can pray without ceasing. And Father, help us to in everything give thanks, because this is your will for us. Father, help us when we find those times where we lack the faith, help us to look to you in prayer and ask for strength, for wisdom, and for your grace and for your mercy. Father, help us choose obedience to you in every time it's presented to us. And Father, I pray for those who are here this morning who may have just now, for the first time, trusted you in prayer and come to you in prayer and trusted you for salvation. And Lord, I pray for them that they would not leave this place without telling somebody of that decision. I thank you, Father, for your word. It is our strength and our hope. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.